All right, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. All right, we'll pray for your needs and your intentions. Let's pray for those challenges in your life, those difficulties. Let's pray for those, as I was talking about, the giants and enemies that you face. You know, those people trying to stop you, those people who betrayed you, those people who have disappointed you. I just want to say to you, look, they can't stop you from your destiny. God has a mission and a plan for you. And I think opposition in life, when we face difficulty and hardship, whether it's health or finances or relationship, if you're faithful to God, opposition will make you stronger. God has the final say in everything. And if you're faithful to Him, you know, and this situation has not been removed yet, then He's using it for a larger purpose. He's using it for your good. And, you know, we were talking about Goliath a moment ago. I think the Lord strategically places Goliaths, those Judases, that opposition, those people who oppose you, those situations that oppose you, in your path for a reason, right? I really do. Without Goliath, you know, you can't take your throne like Goliath, like David, right? Goliath was a pivotal moment in David's future. Without Judas, you know, I mean, well, I'm sure Christ still would have made it to Calvary somehow, but Judas was pivotal in betraying the Lord and ultimately, you know, allowing him to conquer death for us and throw open the gates of heaven. I know there's great things in your future when you're in the middle of the storm, when you're going through these difficulties. You wonder why. I know you don't want to go through it. I don't blame you. Jesus resurrected, right? He rose from the dead. He conquered it. And if you believe that, then you should believe all things are possible with Him, right? And in your situation. And that's what I'm going to pray for today. I want to pray for you, especially if you're doubting, if you're having anxiety, if you have fear, if you are overcome by your situation, if the circumstances of your life just seem indomitable. I'm just going to pray that God's mercy will prevail and you'll see that God's with you. All right. I'm in the studio today with Preston Alex, my colleague here. Preston, good to have you back.
Yeah, it's great. Your opening kind of made me think of a story my grandma once told me.
Yeah, tell me. I love
your
stories.
She was deep in prayer over some struggles she's having at work and thinking about quitting and having a lot of just emotional turmoil. And this phrase that came from Christ was, Judas was one of my good friends. Wow. You know, he was betrayed by one of his, this is a man that was with him. Was a good friend of his, and he's betrayed by that. It's a lot harder, I think, to be betrayed by good friends than it would be a complete stranger. Yeah. And that kind of speaks to like how hard that must have been on Jesus and how much he can understand what we're going through. I just thought that was a profound story she shared with me, and it's something that I thought about before when I'm going through those struggles.
I love it. It's really well said. Thank you for sharing
that.
Yeah. I always enjoy your insights.
Okay.
I tried to share the other day. You weren't here in the studio. We had a guest on. What were we talking about, Maggie? Christmas? Or we were talking, I forget what it was. It was finances. How to do Christmas on a budget.
Yeah.
And I tried to quote the things that you did. You know, one thing to share, one thing. Why don't you share that with everybody?
Share, wear, read, need. So every one of our kids gets four gifts and only four gifts. Yeah. They get something to share, something to wear, something that they need, and something to read. And it's perfect for covering it all.
Especially with eight kids.
That's for 30, eight kids.
That's
yeah,
32
that's,
gifts.
That's how I live. Yeah, it's still a lot of gifts, but it limits it. And a lot of times the need, read, and to a lesser extent, the wear are pretty inexpensive. Yeah. Sometimes the share gift, we give a little bit more of a splurge. But even then, at least the kids have an understanding that this is something they're going to share with each other. And, you know, they might get to play with it individually first. But yeah. It takes away some of the possessiveness in our family.
That's so cool. And that's probably their favorite gift of all, right?
It tends to be.
Yeah, I would think so. That's awesome. Well, I love it. I want to pray for those struggling financially today as well. We've got kids, you know, and you think, how am I going to make it? I've got some incredible stories of God's providence, especially around Christmas and how God has provided, not just for me, but for my family when I was growing up. And God is a provider. I know you know that more than probably anybody. You've seen God's providence in your life. So
absolutely.
Put your confidence in God. I want to pray for just a couple of quick intentions that came in here. One of our, friend of mine, his name's Tom. Tom, thanks for reaching out today. He asked Father and I to pray for a dear friend of his and his wife. He is having some very severe health issues and they're in for a tough and difficult and long journey and he wants to remain anonymous. So Tom, we're praying for him. Okay. I'm grateful that you reached out to our spiritual family here. So Hang in there, all right? The other intention came in is, would you pray for my son Gabriel? This person, right, writes to me. He hasn't been sleeping well in the last few days. Admitted to me that he's been smoking marijuana for a few years and drinking lately. He doesn't sound like himself lately, and I'm worried that he might be out of his mind from not sleeping. I'm concerned about the addictions. Please pray that if he does not need the help to get his mind back to normal, then he'll be open and willing to get help. He'll also seek help for the marijuana and the alcohol. Please pray for the Holy Spirit to guide him and our family situation. Thank you for your prayers. I know you're concerned. You know, there's a lot of kids who drink, and there's a lot of kids who smoke pot. I don't want to downplay it for you. But keep praying, all right? And we'll pray for your son and for anyone else. I mean, these addictions can, you know, can't run deep. They're, you know, I know what it's like. I've had loved ones who battled addiction, so I know what addiction's like. So it's the real deal. But let's pray for anyone who is dabbling in drugs, or anybody who is, you know, enslaved by them, enchained by them. We'll pray for addiction today in a particular way, and I want to pray for the families of loved ones who are concerned about their own family members. Press, anything you want to pray for as we kick it off?
Yeah, my dad is undergoing some situations with his heart, okay. And that just the doctors can determine what's best for him and get him in to get the surgery he needs.
All right, well, we'll pray for him right now. I'm going to pray for my buddy Doug. I've been praying for him all week. He's had some heart surgery too, so he'll recover. And we'll pray right now as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expire, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Marie. She's praying with us in sunny California. Hi, Marie. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling for an urgent prayer request for my mother, Linda. She fell down the stairs last night, and the miracle is she has no broken bones. My whole family, most of my family members and I were praying, and we said the chaplet. She has no broken bones, but she has a small bleed in her brain, and she's in the ICU at our hospital, our local hospital, and I just need everybody to pray for her, for her recovery. She has had a stroke before in the past and struggles with dizziness.
Well, no.
And she's also a very busy lady, so she is constantly doing stuff.
Well, that's great. Sounds so like a wonderful, yes, wonderful lady and beautiful mother.
She is.
Hey, Marie, what's your mom's name? We'll put her down on our list here and we'll pray for her.
Her name is Linda, and she is an active listener of you and Father Rocky mostly every day, and prays with you. And she's a prayer warrior. And also, could I include all my St. Andrew's intentions? And of course, you and your staff are included.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it. And I love the St. Andrew Novena. Kicked off yesterday. It's never too late to begin. If you missed that conversation, we talked a lot about him. You go to my podcast, well worth listening to, Powerful Saint, That's a powerful novena. Lord, I give you Marie right now. We pray for her mother, Linda, who fell down the steps. We pray for those who are battling dizziness. I pray for those who have had trauma. In particular, we ask you to touch her brain and stop that bleed and allow her to make a complete recovery. She is part of our spiritual family here. She prays with us every day, and I love that. So her family is going to come together and just intercede for her, blanket her in prayer. So, Lord, I thank you for the healing that's going to be taking place, and pray for all those right now that are in difficulty in the hospital, and especially our elderly with balance problems as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Ronnie next, listening in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi. I want to pray for my sister Carolyn, who's going to die any day now. And I can't get to see her. She's in South Jersey, and I'm in Brooklyn. I can't drive because I can't drive now. Well, anyway, I just pray that a priest will get to her and give her the last rites. I'm so distraught over this. I just long for your prayers. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Ronnie, first of all, two things. One, we're here for you, all right? And prayer transcends all boundaries and all distance. So we will certainly pray in particular for your sister that God's calling home. But a little bit of advice for you. If you can't be there, unite with her in spirit. St. Faustina would do that all the time. She'd pray for the dying, and God actually bi-located her to many of these places. But your prayers will have a profound impact on your sister's final hours. I'm convinced of that. But the second point is find out what parish your sister's in. And you can pick up the phone, as you just did, and call her. I call the priest and say, hey, could you please go and give my sister last rites, okay? Let the priest know where she's at, and that would be a wonderful act of charity and mercy for your sister. So I would do those two things. But right now, we're going to pray for her as we pray for all the dying in this particular hour. As I say, 105 souls die every single minute. So we want to bring these souls before the Lord, in which the Lord promised that, you know, their eternity sometimes depends on our entreaties, on our prayers, on our intercession. So, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the chaplain. I thank you for the power of this prayer, especially for those approaching the threshold of eternity. And we bring these souls to you now. I give you those who mourn, those who are left behind, and those like Ronnie as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Mary Ann, we'll go to Maggie. She is monitoring our Twitter page. And I just want to encourage you to please follow us on our social media pages. We have Facebook pages. We have Twitter pages. It's a great way to not only stay in touch, but also to spread the good news about what's happening. And you can follow the show at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me personally at Drew Mariani. You can go to Facebook. It's the Drew Mariani Show. And Maggie sees everything that comes in. She does a phenomenal job and often brings those intentions to all of us. And Maggie, what can we pray for today?
Drew, we have a lot of housekeeping prayers today. I want to lift up our engineering team. We were experiencing some major tech issues at the beginning of this broadcast.
That first hour was torture.
Was
people
rough.
Could see behind the scenes.
There
it was
were
like, what?
Three engineers in here at once, and they figured it out in such a quick and just seamless manner, and I'm so grateful for them. So I want to lift them up. My mom has a special intention today. She wanted me to lift up, so I want to ask for that need. Nick also told me today that his mom and dad both have COVID.
Oh, no.
So I want to lift up Paula and John for their health and recovery. Our other producer, Tom, his mother-in-law, Jean, had a spill and maybe broke her shoulder. She's in the hospital.
Poor woman.
I know. So I want to lift up all those intentions from our staff. But then Carol wrote to us and she said, similar to Tom's mother-in-law, she said, prayers for my friend's mom who fell and is now afraid of going outside and is saying things like, I hope I make it till Christmas. Please heal her anxiety, Jesus, and heal her physically. And I just wanted to lift up, we received a handwritten note on a note card in the mail, and the author is asking you for proper guidance as to whether or not we should downgrade and sell our house, and for special help in some other things that we're doing.
Well, that's a tough decision. We will certainly ask God for clarity and for direction on a major life decision like that, and that is a big one. And it is kind of weird. You know, we talk about the currents that flow through the show, right? I mean, how many spills, how many falls, how many loss of balance in just one show that has been reported? Lord, I pray for those who have these balance issues. I pray for the elderly. I pray for those recovering from, you know, hip and knee problems as a result of this, those who need replacements, those who have orthopedic problems. I just intercede on behalf of all those intentions that have come in. Let's add Mary to our third decade here as well. She's praying in Edinburgh, Texas. Mary Ann, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me on, Drew. I'm calling because a couple of years ago, my sister was involved in a horrific car accident. She passed out. And evidently, her eye got injured permanently. Yeah, and she's had a couple of surgeries, and the doctors say they really can't help her. But she and her children pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy every day for the past, I think, three or four years, non-weekends and everything. And she's starting to see certain things, and I want in that eye. And I wanted to reach out to you guys and have more prayers said to her because it's only four of us.
Yeah.
Imagine how everybody can help her out with that too.
Yeah, you know, I love your Mary Ann, as you were sharing your story. I think it was probably last week or the week before, we had a testimony that came in. Same thing, a woman who had from birth trouble in her one eye. She had multiple surgeries, no vision. Mm-hmm. She began to pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy with us.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's seeing out of that eye. So let's pray for your sister right now. We'll pray, and I love your multiplication. I love your math. You know, four prayers or four souls coming together are powerful. We know when two or more are gathered, Christ is present, right? But imagine how many people today across your state of Texas, across the continental United States, across the world, right now we're praying this chapel together for these intentions. And I can't even tell you how many souls that is. But Lord, we just give you, Mary Ann, we give you her sister. And I give you those who are the victims of accident and tragedy, who've lost mobility, who've lost vision, who've lost so much as a result of those tragedies. And Lord, I know you can heal. You know, you can give mobility back to the lame. You can give vision back to the blind. You showed us that in scripture, and I know that happens today. So I pray for miracles every day on this chaplet, and I just intercede on behalf of Mary Ann and all those now crying out to you, asking for those miracles in their life. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Patricia is praying with us in the Lone Star State as well. Hi, Patricia. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you all.
Thanks.
If you could lift up my friend Ralph, I'm requesting prayers for him. He's been my childhood friend since 8 years old for his addiction to alcohol since he was 13. Yeah. Also for marijuana and other drugs induced. And tonight we are going to an exposition of the sacred relics. There will be first class relics there. And he's running circles, and every time he goes towards the Lord, he runs, and he seems like he made a commitment. I want to ask Father God that his Ralph's free will be open to him, and he'll finally accept it, and for a healing of his addiction. And he also has cirrhosis of the liver. He needs a transplant, a miracle, if it be God's will. But I know he needs he needs God, and he knows he does. He cries for him, but he runs every time we get close to something like this. If we could lift him up.
Well, let's lift him up right now. Trish, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the struggle that Ralph is going through. And I give you addiction, Lord. You know, Preston, I know that your family's dealt with it. My family has dealt with it. We know, you know, how horrible addiction can be, but I've also seen addiction broken, and I've seen healing as a result of it. This man needs a liver transplant, but if he's still battling alcohol, if he's still in his addiction, it's probably not going to happen for him. So we really need for the freedom from this addiction. And I really believe so much of this addiction is rooted in the demonic, because it destroys lives and futures and families. And Lord, I just ask that you vanquish any demonic spirit, that you go into whatever wound this individual may have that has created this addictive relationship with alcohol and drugs, and to heal it. And I re-echo that for everyone right now who's got a family member that is dealing with addiction, whether it is alcohol, whether it is a food addiction, whether it is a sexual addiction. I ask on this particular decade, Lord, by your precious blood, that you renew these souls, that you protect them, you cover them, you bring new healing, you fortify their family members, you give them patience and understanding, you allow them to be show tough love when necessary, Lord, and understanding when necessary as well. And we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Sunnyvale, California. Sounds beautiful. Hi, Amelia. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew and Steph. Thank you so much. I've called many times for the help of my son, alcoholism. Okay. He entered a residential recovery
Praise
treatment
God.
Yesterday. So I'm praying that he sticks with it and he's successful and that he will be reunited with his wife, so his wife and him could raise their young son together. So this is a big prayer so far that has we have been blessed with, and we just want a successful treatment plan for him.
I know you've been praying hard. You've been praying long. I know you shed a lot of tears.
Yeah.
Let's rejoice. Let's have faith. That's a good step. Okay. He's now in a treatment program. And Lord, again, we talk about this current that runs through here. So many intentions today dealing with addiction. And I thank you. I'm going to pray this decade in Thanksgiving for the fact he's in treatment, but for all of these answered prayers that are flowing. I know, Lord, you hear these prayers. You hear my prayers coupled with so many other souls. I know your heart rejoices as we pray the chaplet. You know, we have to have confidence in God. He's our Father. You know, we all have trials, but he's our Father. And he loves us as a father loves his children. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the way you're working and for the miracles that are taking place, the healing that's taking place, the liberation and freedom that's taking place. I give you my heart with all my intentions. I unite it to all who now turn to you with trust in your Father, your loving fatherhood. And pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Health,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Preston, thanks for praying with me. Great to have you here. Thank you for praying with me as well. Send me your answered prayers. I'm telling you, I love them. Tomorrow, I'll share answered prayers. We're getting many of them every single week here. You can email me, drew@relevantradio.com. In the byline, put answered prayer or praise report, whatever you want to mark it, and tell me your story. Tell me about the addiction that's been broken or the new job that's been found or the financial quagmire you've gotten out of or the new spouse you've encountered, whatever it might be, right? Share those answered prayers. They help me. They fortify my faith, and I know they inspire a lot of other people as well. Hey, when we come back, I want to put my finger on the pulse of what's happening. We're dealing with a mega drought on our West Coast, right? Water, and no water, right? But I also want to take a look at some of these ancient flooding stories. There's been several of them. Was there a global flood? Dr. John Bergsma will be stopping by, and Maggie and I were talking about giants. We talked about Goliath and the giantism that he might have had, you know, or what might have caused him to be defeated by Goliath. Did mysterious giants once roam America? There was an ancient find down in Florida. You may not have heard about it, but it seems that well before they thought man should have been here, they found the remains of giants. Does it harken back to what Scripture talked about? Well, look at that and more.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
They are the lifelines of modern civilization. Rivers at once majestic and powerful, powering towns with electricity.
Connecting buyers and sellers.
And supplying people with food and water. Now their past and future are at stake.
Here in Arizona, the Colorado River is about 20% smaller than it was just 20 years ago.
Here in Germany, the Rhine River, which carries goods to most of Europe, has reached 5 feet below normal levels.
And here in China, the Yangtze River is now so dry, factories have been shut down and shipping has slowed.
Experts here say they've never seen it this bad,
and it's likely to get worse.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's happening so often, you can hear the messaging is pretty much the same, and they're not alone. One of my producers, his name's Tom Siskevich, he goes regularly to visit his mother-in-law. She lives near the Kankakee River in Illinois, and she's been living there, oh, I don't know how long, for years, right? And whenever he goes there, he always tells me, oh yeah, the river's running at its banks. Sometimes, you know, it's even over the banks. He just went there for Thanksgiving, and he said, you know something? He walked 17 feet from the bank of the river to the water is now. That's how far it has dropped. That's because of the drought that we're experiencing in the country. The Mississippi River is drying up. We've talked about barge traffic that brings grain from the Midwestern states to either St. Louis or other ports in New Orleans to be shipped across the country and the world. It's being stopped now because, well, the water's too low. The river's too shallow, right? I read an article by a buddy of mine, a guy named Ted Flynn. He recently wrote about this whole crisis that we're seeing with the water. And he recalled that about 20 years ago, he visited Lake Mead, and I've talked about the precipitous decrease in water in Lake Mead. He was there 20 years ago, and he said he could see the rings where the water had been substantially higher on the rocks. If you do a search online, you'll see the same thing. You'll see, how white and how dark, there's a line of delineation there that shows you what was above water, what was below, and how low it's dropped. 20 years ago. He took a recent trip to Phoenix visiting relatives. He was spending a day on a pontoon boat on the reservoir, and he was just struck by how low this water has dropped. As he pointed out, over the last several years, there's been an increasing number of articles in the drying up of, well, really the gradual disappearance of the world's greatest rivers and our reservoirs. So if water doesn't soon come from the heavens, this drought will monumentally dwarf other issues that we face combined. I mean, the entire world ecosystem of farming, of agriculture, of fish, transportation, of power generation, it's all going to be impacted. It's simply incalculable, the repercussions of this. And he's a very sane guy. I have a lot of respect for him. He says, if you pile on, the water problems that we're now seeing, you add inflation on top of that, and the myriad of other headaches that we face now on a daily basis, we're all going to have headaches. We're going to have migraines, in the days to come. But I think back to the time of Noah, right? Apparently drought wasn't a problem, right? We had the problem of flooding. And the Bible states very clear that flooding came as a judgment on earth because of people's wickedness. But did you know the story of an ancient flood? It's not just in the Bible. There are all kinds of stories that talk about a flood at the dawn of human history. In fact, I'm watching a Netflix series. It's called Ancient Apocalypse, and it is really fascinating where water levels once were, how they've come down, how, in the caves of North American Indians, there's stories of a massive flood, whether it's ancient Mesopotamia, whether it is, Africa, the Middle East, China, they all have these great flooding stories. Alatea was reporting that geographers at the University of the Sunshine Coast in Australia have proposed in a recent paper that indigenous legends from Northern Europe and Australia describing a cataclysmic flood capturing these historical sea levels rising actually happened at the dawn of history, dawn of human history. They also argued this, and I want to just quote one sentence from what I read. They said, quote, science has traditionally underestimated the capacity of oral pre-literature cultures to acquire, encode, and sustain their observations of memorable events with a high degree of replication fidelity. I know that's a lot of words, right? But what they're basically saying there is there's a lot of credibility to the oral tradition. And you see it in every culture, handing down the story from this person's father to the next son, to the next son, to the next son for generations. So in other words, scientists, they often don't believe that ancient cultures were telling the truth about what was going on in their days. I do. I tend to believe in some of this oral tradition. But Dr. Johns Bergma is a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, a senior fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He's an expert in the Dead Sea Scrolls and in many aspects of Scripture. We've talked to him about this in the past and thought I'd get his take on just where we are in the world today. We see drought happening. Does he see the fingerprints of God on that? What about floods? How do we interpret these across civilizations and across time? Good to have you back with me, Doctor. Good afternoon.
Absolutely, Drew. Great to be on with you.
So, let's go back. I want to talk about that last statement where scientists don't trust the written stories of ancient, they don't trust the what's written in ancient stories. What do you make of the oral tradition of some of these stories handed down? I know, you know, if you whisper down the line, things always get changed, but I think there is some truth rooted in some of these ancient stories, don't you? I mean, how do you read it?
Yeah, there's been, you know, notable instances where the traditional accounts passed down by various cultures have been shown to be verified. I mean, one of the most dramatic was, you know, the discovery of Troy by the German archaeologist Aeschlimann. And that was, you know, oral tradition. That was how the poems of Homer were passed down, Drew. That was, they were memorized, they were chanted and passed down. And many scholars believe, too, that the traditions of the people of Israel were also chanted and passed down in that fashion. And there's been various dramatic confirmations of Israel's chanted history as well. And we've talked about some of those before on this show, like the ongoing discovery of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that seems so much like a myth that we read in the middle of Genesis there, like, how can this possibly happen, fire from the sky? But indeed, they did find this destruction layer of a heat blast of more than 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit that annihilated these two powerful cities on the north end of the Dead Sea in that millennia, that the second millennia there that's recorded as the time period for the life of Abraham. So I think it's wisest to give the traditions the benefit of the doubt, give them the benefit of the doubt, because people, you know, were passing down what they had received from their ancestors and had an interest in maintaining the fidelity to what was handed on to them.
Yeah. I was just there at the Dead Sea probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I thought of you because I've been to the Dead Sea before, but I don't remember actually visiting Qumran. And I know that you're an expert on the Dead Sea Scrolls. I thought of you when I was there, and I said to some of the guys, have you ever heard of a Dr. John Bergsma? And a couple of the guys I were with said, oh, yeah, we know him. They knew your name. So I know you go there regularly. I said, so you're a star, Doc. You know, your reputation precedes you. I thought it was pretty cool. And I was traveling with a priest, and one of the priests, I gave him your name, actually, because he never heard of the fact that there has been evidence for the cities of Gomorrah and Sodom being destroyed, that there's some sort of, you know, empirical evidence that, yes, these cities existed and they were destroyed. And I told him to do a search for your name and take a quick look at those stories, because I remember you and I were talking about how they found, did they find torsos incinerated from, you know, the upper part of the body totally incinerated, but they found the lower halves of people as if though some massive heat event went off, turning sand to glass and high levels of sulfur in that area.
Absolutely, yeah, that's correct. It's the archaeologist is I believe it's Stephen Collins, and he's written a book with Simon and Schuster. Called something like Discovering Sodom. So, you know, you can find it on Amazon or any typical online bookseller.
Yeah. Hey, well, I'll take a break in a minute here, but and I'm always antsy about asking these types of questions because I you know, every epic has its era, you know, or every epic has its evil, and every era has its evil as well. And there's, you know, evil's been around. And I don't want to read too much into the signs of the times. But, you know, when I look at the total rejection of God we're seeing, we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? We take a look at the sexual immorality of that day. We take the sexual immorality of our own day, as well as the outright rejection of God, the human sacrifice that takes place every day. Instead of on an altar somewhere, it's in a clinical, you know, room somewhere. I mean, it's just horrible. You can draw these parallels. And I do think of chastisement. God said he'd never destroy the world again by water. But boy, we're seeing flood all over the place. Not flood, we're seeing drought all over the place, right? What are your thoughts on how God works in that respect? I mean, how do you view God somehow trying to get man's attention? How God sometimes used natural events as a means of correction and drawing souls back to him?
Yeah, Drew, I think what would be good reading for all of us is to reread the first chapter of Romans, where St. Paul describes how people, both as individuals and as entire cultures, descend from knowledge of God to worshiping idols, that is to say other things, you know, money, sex, power, et cetera. and then gradually go step by step till they're so degraded that society is in chaos. And St. Paul speaks of the wrath of God being poured out. And when we read through the scriptures, Drew, oftentimes the wrath of God is manifest in, you know, physical judgment, the sending of plagues, the sending of enemy armies. But interestingly, Drew, in Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed by God giving us over to our corrupted passion, to our disordered desires. And in some ways, that's the worst punishment that God can give us, because our disordered, our sinful desires, when we just capitulate to them, just give in to them, that is the worst kind of bondage that we can have. That is what the Bible describes as slavery to sin. But the good news is Jesus comes to save us from our sins. And that doesn't mean just to save us from hell. Hell is the consequence of our sins. Yeah. But it means to save us from constantly sinning. Actually give us the power of the Holy Spirit such that we don't have to live shackled to these, you know, disgusting habits, et cetera, that we can really live in the freedom of the children of God. And so during this Advent season, when we hear about Jesus, you know, being called, you know, his name means salvation. And in Matthew 1, it's explained it's because he's going to save us from our sins. Let's remember, that's not just the consequence of our sins. It's from the sins themselves.
My guest today, Dr. John Bergsman. Doctor, I got to take a short break if you want to join us. 888-914-9149. I've been following these stories about drought in our own country and around the world. In the Old Testament, drought was often a sign of divine judgment on Israel. Just raises questions for me as we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and even ancient stories of flooding. When I come back, Doctor, I want to ask you about another mystery of the Bible, if we could. I hope I pronounced the name right. It was, I think, Nephilim. You know, these giants that supposedly roamed. I saw a story recently that there might be evidence of these giants here in America. I'll tell you what I came across. Love to get your take on that. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. 888-914-9149. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Getting you connected.
The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio. This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. If you are just getting plugged in, we're speaking to Dr. John Bergsma, and we were talking about the drought that our country is seeing. You know, in the Old Testament, was drought a sign of divine judgment on Israel? Many would argue, yes. We also have talked about these flooding stories. You know, the story of Noah, was there a global catastrophe, or was it just regional? We're talking about that. But I have one other mystery. I only have a few minutes, so I want to get it in. A friend of mine, a guy named Michael Brown, very gifted author, known him for years. I read something that he put forward not too long ago. He lives down in Florida, and there's an area not too far from where he lives. Not many people know it. It's very close to the Kennedy Space Center, and right behind the bog where the palms and the palmettos and the oaks and the brush are, there was a discovery that was made. They found skeletal mummies that shocked archaeologists, shocked the archaeological world for years, because when radiocarbon dating was done, when they completed it, they found that the remains of these mummies were 6,000 to 9,000 years old. Okay, 6 to 9. Why is that significant? In other words, the bodies in this bog, which have been wrapped in bark, sunk and preserved in really what are just ideal conditions, were people who lived in what is now the United States, you know, at least 4,000, perhaps as long as 7,000 years before Jesus Christ. I mean, think about that. That's an incredible period of time. When the swamp was drained, the other half remains untouched, which is they found about 168 prehistoric bodies, more than half in startlingly really good shape. They were exhumed. Believe it or not, a bunch with some brain tissue intact. You talk about weird, right? Brain tissue. And it was a tribe still unidentified, existed thousands of years before Noah, before the Great Flood. So DNA analyzed from them show a genetic marker that was also found in Europe and the Middle East and in Israel, as well as Asia and amongst Native Americans. And their bodies weren't typical. They weren't typical of the, you know, Paleo Indians. And what they found was that their size, that these mummies, they curiously had red hair, and they were giants. You know, they were giants. And you know, other prehistoric remains found across America, especially in the Midwest and the Southwest, show something very different. Existence of human beings, you know, long gone, you know, which were taller, in many cases perhaps impossibly tall. And it's something that the Old Testament says repeatedly, that in the past there was a race of races of human giants, right? So it made me think of Dr. Bergsman. I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know a whole lot about this. There was a headline that I saw, you know, beach giant skulls on Earth was the headline that they found, right? But there is surprising evidence of men whose incredible prehistoric remains reportedly have been unearthed in hundreds of spots in America, and whose presence, according to tradition, you know, Christian tradition, you know, predate Noah and predate the flood. Is it possible the giants roamed America? Nephilim, right? Nephilim is what I think Scripture called them. I don't know. I really don't, but I find this story compelling. Doctor, you know, you're the biblical expert here. You're an Old Testament expert as well. What does the Old Testament tell us about these giants? Has there ever been any evidence found? What do you make of these stories? I mean, they found human beings, even with brain tissue, that radiocarbon dating brings us back to 9,000 BC, 7,000 years before Christ and before the flood of Noah.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. Here in Ohio, Drew, you know, there's the serpent mounds and other mound formations that are associated with a very ancient culture, probably dating to about that time period. And there's also been talk of, you know, giant human skeletons found in that area. And so, you know, my attitude toward that, Drew, is to be open. You know, look at what's found. Don't close off. So many times, you know, in the history of science and in the history of, you know, civilization, we've thought, oh no, this can't happen. That could not have been. And so many times we've been proved wrong. You know, it used to be thought that the idea of the universe having a beginning was once thought to be absurd until, you know, Big Bang cosmology and Einstein in the middle of the 1900s. So I'd say, you know, openness in not ruling out, not saying, oh no, that can't be, you know, is a good attitude. And, you know, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, doesn't specifically talk about giants. It speaks of fallen ones, the Nephilim, which means fallen ones in Genesis 6. But then when the Bible is translated into Greek, that ancient translation we call the Septuagint, the Greek translators put in the word gigantes in there because they believe that these fallen ones spoken of in Israel scriptures, they believed tracked with the legends of the giants from Greek culture. So they made an equivalence there and kind of reconciled that with Greek ancient history. So that's where that comes from.
Fascinating stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, Doctor, I am up against the clock. If people want to follow you, what's the best way to get connected? I only have about 20 seconds.
Yeah, CatholicBibleTeacher.com. We'll get to my website. Got a pilgrimage coming up in June. Lots of good products too on the website for Christmas.
Check him out. All right, that's Dr. John Bergsman. Doctor, thank you for your time and always for your expertise. Always great to talk with you. I'll be right back.
Always good.
Stay with me.